Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm. Feel the rhyme. Get on up, because it is News Chew time. Welcome back, everybody. This is episode, Ben tells me, 50. We've had ones that haven't been numbered, so I mean, sure, it's our 50th episode. Hooray!
Yeah, if we're being technical about it, yes and no, because we had the one that we recorded that never really recorded.
Right, so the lost episode.
And then, that was like episode 15 or something, and then we've had like, you know, the anniversary specials and things like that.
It's like 52 or 3-ish, but from a number standpoint, it's number 50, so that you can keep them organized in your CD trays at home. I assume that's what people do now, is they write down all their favorite podcasts and then use their old CD racks and just put them in there.
Well, the holidays are coming up, yeah. And I mean, what better way to
than a CD rack?
That holiday cheer than with a CD rack of the News Chew.
Yep, just pieces of paper with episode titles written on them. That would, out of context, that could be very confusing. So,
you think?
Yeah, probably a little bit. But anyway, so, yeah, so episode 50, huzzah, Ben. We did it again.
We've made it this far without killing each other, so, I mean, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing pretty good on that front.
Yeah, I don't see any problems happening there,
no,
so.
No Yoko Ono situations or anything like that.
Yeah, this isn't going to be like a Paul McCartney, John Lennon thing.
I don't think so. I mean, but you know, you never know. I might write all of our best songs, Ben, and then what are we left with? I'm just kidding. That was just a joke I wanted to use. It just felt right in the moment. So last week, you probably don't know, but we usually record on Sundays to put up on Mondays. And last week we recorded very early, because I was in, New York City, the Big Tomato.
I think you just offended all of New York.
I did. And I did it on purpose, but there's a reason why. It's all going to come full circle here in a second. So I, of course, stayed with a friend of the show, Kimberly McFerrin, because as many of you know, she's my wife's wife. So I stayed there, and they bought their daughter, Harper, a four-month-old kitten. And their daughter, Harper, named the kitten Little Tomato. So this cat, his name is Little Tomato forever. That is the moniker that he's been given. And so, you know, so that's why I said the big tomato instead of the Big Apple. So there's the backstory there, but, I got to do some pretty cool stuff. I got to hang out in some of my favorite boroughs, which one of them we'll talk about in particular here in a second. But the big thing was, Ben, I talked about our podcast with two cast members from Saturday Night Live, and then Kimberly and I went and had drinks with our friend Kendall, who is a actress on the Broadway, and we went, and a possible future guest on the show, coming soon, hopefully, Kendall Hartzey, we had drinks in the Rainbow Room, which is the top floor of NBC Studios. And I'm not trying to name drop, but I was in pretty cool company. And I won't name drop, but I was in cool company. And, you know, I got to hang out with Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live and Leslie Jones from Saturday Night Live. And it was really cool. And I talked about our podcast with famous comedy people.
Wow. And
you're welcome, Ben. I even talked about how great my partner was at puns. They were not impressed, Ben. I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. I would not immediately tell people that. That wouldn't be the first thing I would say about you. That'd be rude of me.
It'd also probably drive a lot of people away.
Yeah. So, but it was very cool. My whole trip was wonderful. It's a great city. The reason that I was there was for a job interview. So it may be, possibly could be a future city of residency for me. The word is still out. And updates as I know more. I may have to go back again. So that was cool. But there was one thing that I put on our Twitter that I'd like to talk about with everybody. And that is, of course, a piece of graffiti that I found. Now, Kimberly and I, on the first day that I was in New York, we went to the Brooklyn Flea Market because it's like the hipster epicenter of the world. And I mean that very lovingly. It's a wonderful place. Lots of food carts and all this handmade clothing and jewelry and artwork. It's cool. It's cool to walk around and look at this stuff. Some of it's really fucking weird, but some of it is, I mean, it's truly wonderful and beautiful to behold. But when we got off the subway in Brooklyn, there was a particular piece of graffiti that I've fallen in love with over the last few days, and I posted it to the News Chew Twitter feed to get someone else's input. None of you input, and that's fine. I just can't post it to, like, our Facebook page. It's just not – on Twitter it can fly. On Facebook, I don't trust it. But the graffiti reads, "Johnny Sexual fucks like a werewolf." And it's just in white. It's like a whiteout pen is what they wrote this in. But it very clearly says Johnny Sexual fucks like a werewolf. Now, before we got on the air, I did some quick research just to have some background. As far as I can confirm, there's only one known reference that we can make to a werewolf actually fucking a person. And so, like, something to quantify fucking like a werewolf. And it comes from a very low-budget horror movie called Bitten. I haven't seen it, and I won't see it, because I don't want to see a werewolf on lady sex scene. However, it's good to know that this wasn't just something he made up. There is some historical basis for it.
Yeah, so, I mean, if we had to watch it, it'd be for science sake, for
right.
research
just
sake.
To say, you know, is this a good thing, or is this a detriment to your partner? Because I would imagine a savage, mystical beast who grows fangs and claws, you know, getting savagely passionate with you would probably not end well. I imagine it would be a very horrible experience. So I would prefer to not see it, but if I did watch it, it would purely be for scientific purposes.
Unless, of course, they were into that sort of thing, then I don't know.
I mean, certain people, you know, who knows?
But then technically you're getting on the border of bestiality there, and that's just fucking
see,
weird.
And that's what I'm talking about. That's why I'm not sure if, for Johnny Sexual, if that's really something that he should be proud of, so much so that he is putting it on walls in Brooklyn. I mean, it's going to get a lot of eyesight.
If we had to think about it, wouldn't it just be like a werewolf just attacking somebody? Is that necessarily a good thing? Question mark? No, I don't think it would be.
No, I think it isn't. I think it isn't a good thing.
Because if I imagine a werewolf attacking somebody, they're like going for the throat and like clawing their eyes. I'm like, that's no.
And I want to know if Johnny Sexual, if that's his birth name.
I doubt it. It's kind of like probably like a Johnny Rotten
I mean,
thing.
You know, we can't know for sure, but you know. I don't know.
I would have a hard time believing that. Honestly.
Yeah, but I mean, it's pretty funny. If anyone knows Johnny Sexual, let him know that we're looking for him. We just want to talk. We just want to talk to Johnny Sexual, that's all. But
I mean, I'll get the silver bullets ready just in case.
Just in case, because you really never can tell with that guy. It's just it's awesome. It's a great place. You get to see cool graffiti like that a lot of the places. That was by far my favorite, though, and it still – it haunts me because I don't know the full context of that. Maybe it was a former spurned lady lover who wrote that.
We'll never know unless we talk to the guy, so.
All right, Johnny Sexual, we're looking for you.
I don't even know if he'd know then. Because if somebody else wrote that without him knowing, then...
Yeah, that's...
He's just as much in the dark as we are.
Yeah, he is. Well, I feel bad for Johnny Sexual, then, if that's the case. But I also don't. He's got his name emblazoned on right when you get off the subway in Brooklyn. So he... There are many stops, just one in particular. But anyways, if it was at everyone, I would have been blown away. Every place I got off, it was just like, Johnny Sexual fucks like a werewolf. I'd start to get creeped out.
He's hit up all five of the boroughs.
Yeah, it'd be good drop, Ben. I did not go visit all five of the boroughs. I stuck to three boroughs.
Well, it's better than
zero boroughs. Than staying in New Jersey the whole time.
Ugh.
Ah, Jersey's not.
You could just smell New Jersey.
I mean, in certain spots, that's true. Not in all spots, though.
I've never been to New Jersey, but the closest I've been to it was when I went to Philadelphia last year. I was on this bridge that there's a water beneath it. Like, I forget what river it was. And then right across from it, I mean, like, you could see it plain as day, it was New Jersey. And I'm like, oh, well, that's as close as New Jersey as I'm ever getting.
Yes. So. Good story, Ben. Compelling and rich. I mean, you're not wrong. There are spots in New Jersey that do definitely have a very peculiar scent. But, you know, Kimberly lives in Jersey City, which is, I mean, it's hardly New Jersey. Yeah, good time. Fun was had by all. Saw lots of old friends. And I got that the night that we went to the Rainbow Room, I just got so drunk, Ben. That was rough. I'm too old to drink like I drank, because I went to a comedy club, then I drank with comedian funny people, and then I drank in the Rainbow Room. It was bad. Bad Lou. Bad life choices, Lou.
Well, I'm not going to judge you for them, because you were able to get our podcast out there. So.
God damned right. But anyways, Ben, why don't you give us an update on some ladies that we know?
So what?
Why don't you give us an update on our ladies? What are our ladies baby metal up to, Ben? I was trying to sort of give you a nice little smooth segue into telling us about how baby metal made their United States world debut.
Yes, they did. That really threw me off at first. I'm like, wait a minute, what? Baby Metal made their debut in New York not too long ago as their opening for Lady Gaga on her tour. And, yeah, so Americans now have an actual taste of what we like to put at the beginning of our shows. The band... I don't know if we've ever actually talked about the band, like, in full depth.
We have before. We have to have at some point, because I feel like we've talked about them a lot. I feel like we know them. Like, we have a relationship with them, even though we absolutely do not. Yet.
And it'd be weird, because they're all, like, 15.
I didn't mean like that. I just meant, like, you know, like, if we did a live show, they'd come and play the intro live. Because that'd be amazing.
They play 10 seconds of the show.
No, I mean, I want the whole thing, then. If they're going to come and play, I want them to play the whole thing.
It said that the fan base at their show was very diverse. You had elementary school kids who were holding their mom's hands, to middle-aged men, and you had all races. You had white, black, Asian, Hispanic, Middle Eastern. Everyone was wanting to see the baby metal. There was moshing, but it's weird because it's J-pop fused with metal, so...
It sounded like it was fairly tame. The way when you read the article, they make the moshing sound like it should be in quotes. They were moshing, in quotes.
I mean, I'd want to see them live. I think they'd put on a good show.
I would go, for sure. Well, I would go specifically just to shout the news to you at them. I'd be throwing t-shirts at them. I'd be like, "Where are t-shirts?" We don't have t-shirts yet. Maybe someday.
We don't have a budget. We don't have a budget.
That's
for
a good point. good point, Ben. So Baby Metal, they're getting huge. I can't wait for them to be on Saturday Night Live, because you know it's going to happen. They're opening for Lady Gaga. They're gonna be on Saturday Night Live soon, and I can't wait for that to happen, because you know it's gonna happen.
But yeah, I see what you mean. We can create a business type of relationship. We promote them, they promote us.
Yeah, except the difference, Ben, is that that is a way bigger favor for them to promote us than for us to promote them. I will say, however, we did get in on the ground floor as far as fandom goes. We were on their bandwagon early in the game, and now they're big time.
That is true. Well, they just one retweet's not gonna hurt.
Yeah, every so often.
I'm just saying,
they could hook us up with a little retweet. Although we should probably follow them on Twitter if we don't already. I don't think I do.
Unfortunately, I don't think their fans would be able to understand or read.
That's what Google Translate is for, Ben.
Have you ever tried to Google Translate Japanese into English? It does not come out
well. I'm
sure
it comes out the way it was meant to. I'm sure they tweeted exactly what they meant.
But it words in such a weird way. That,
if I do it, talk to text from across the room, it'll be subliminal messages that they're trying to kill me, I would imagine.
Oh, Baby Metal actually has a new song out, in a new video.
Oh, we'll have to watch. If you send that to me, I'll watch it. Maybe it can be our Christmas intro for the month of December.
Maybe
our holiday intro music.
But they are a talented trio, and don't let the fusion of Japanese pop and metal
don't let it,
turn
don't
you
let
away.
It deter you. That song, I listened to it again the other day because I got, you know Sean Anderson from the Hall of Very Good, hopefully a future guest when he decides to get Skype. I know he's going to hear this. Sean, get Skype. Come on, man. He posted to my wall on Facebook that he had just watched Gimme Chocolate, which is our theme song. And I watched it again, and it's a great song. I love all of it. I love their little dances. I love the whole fucking thing.
It's very unique, and what's great about it is their title, their self-titled debut album, was number one on Billboard's World Albums. Last March.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
They're big in America. The saying is always big in Japan, but I mean they're getting big in America. Which, you know, good for them because we need more diverse music, right?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I'd like to think that, you know, you can't really judge something until you've tried it. Speaking of which, I hate smart cars and will never drive one. You like what I did there, Ben? I basically super contradicted myself immediately after saying something.
Which, by the way, though, Japan is now our fourth most listened to
probably
country,
all the Baby Metal mentions, because they'll get more mentions.
It probably is.
We love Baby Metal here. I mean it. I really do. I think they're great. And I'm happy that they're going to be big time soon, because it's really fun. The music is fun. I get a kick out of it.
Yes, they are very talented, and I mean, who wouldn't want to listen to that?
It's true. I mean, like I said, you can really get a kick out of it, but you know who couldn't get a kick out of it, Ben? Our first story. Oh, man, that was so good. That was so good.
I know where you're going with this.
The headline reads, "Quadruple amputee on the run after his parents were murdered. He is considered armed and dangerous." Ladies and gentlemen, a 30-year-old man who lost both hands and feet to meningitis in 2000 when he was a teenager is being searched for by local Florida police. He has had 13 separate operations since losing his hands to try to repair the effects of his disease, but apparently he killed his parents this past Wednesday, and they are looking for the one-armed man. The guy running on the... He'll be floating somewhere nearby. That's the best getaway I've got for this guy.
He could be rolling, I mean, either way.
Look, I'm sad that he got meningitis, but he's a killer, so now we've knocked down that barrier, and now I can make jokes about the criminal eluding Florida police officer who can't run away, drive away, bicycle away, rollerblade away. It would be almost impossible for him to get himself into a legitimate wagon to roll away, so he literally needed an accomplice to pick him up and chuck him into the ocean.
He's like a surfish.
Like... Unless he's fucking quadriplegic Aquaman, I don't know how you couldn't find him. Have you looked under the bed?
Lou, he is just like a starfish.
Have you looked in the air fence?
I mean, really. What really baffles me is how does he pull the trigger?
Yeah, how there's they don't I did not find anything on how the murders occurred. So that's another fun side of this, Ben. What was the murder weapon?
Well, I'm assuming it was a gun, since it does say the fatal
shootings.
Oh, it does
say fatal shootings? Oh, I missed that then. That's my
yes,
fault.
Yes, but I don't know how.
Yeah.
So how
I mean, unless he got a specially made gun specifically for one of his stumps. I mean, I'm sure you could do that. I'm sure there's a gun maker who will customize your stump gun.
Thumbs up. High five.
Fist bump. Fuck. Oh, Christ. This is... I'm sorry. And then, all right, the last sentence of this article, because it's pulled directly from the Coral Springs newspaper, I'd imagine. It says, if you see any suspicious activity, you are asked to report it to police. Like, if you see a pillow walking down the street... See something, say something. Fuck this guy. He murdered his parents. He deserves all of these jokes.
He's considered armed.
Nope, it just says he's considered dangerous. I'm reading the actual quote from the sheriff's office. We do believe he has a firearm. He's considered dangerous. At least they had the taste to remove that.
Where is he keeping the firearm? And how is he getting it out of wherever
chest
he's keeping
fanny
it?
Fanny pack. He takes a fanny pack and straps it on him like it's a side bag.
Does he, like, use his neck and
yeah,
use his
that's
teeth?
Yeah, that's all
it?
I can figure. Yeah, that's the only thing I can imagine that is genuinely happening here. He keeps his gun in his fanny pack. And somewhere in Florida, there's a guy... slithering through the wetlands.
I mean, how is he on the run, too?
Well, that's... I mean, he can't be. It's impossible.
He's on the
that's
roll.
That's why I can't understand. If you are the Florida police, I mean, for fuck's sake, there are only so many options here. There's only so many places that he could be going where someone isn't like, hey... I heard about a quadriplegic who murdered his parents on the news. That ain't you, is it? Like, I just feel like it's not something that I'm not trying to be insensitive about it. It's just something I feel like I've never actually with my own two eyes, like in person, seen a quadriplegic before. I've seen them on television or in newspapers. I don't know that with my own two eyes I've ever actually seen one before. So I feel like it would be a rare thing. Right?
Yeah, and I guess... Yeah, I mean, I guess they all carry guns, too.
Well, don't be ridiculous. I imagine most of them are very peaceful people. Do you think that it's in... Like, does he wear, like, baby overalls? Like, I'm trying to think about the clothes situation here now, too. Like, what is he wearing? Because I can't imagine he had time to, like, pack a change of clothes... That's what I'm saying, Ben. That is the joke. So again, how it can't be that hard. Like, it really shouldn't be this hard. There should not be a manhunt. Like, the hounds should have found him immediately. They should have gone straight to a laundry chute and been like, he's in there.
Yeah, because he's not going to be able to get to a hiding place by himself. He's going to need an accomplice that is going to possibly
unless
be seen by somebody. Carrying a paraplegic, a quadriplegic man. That's not something you see every day. So you would say, oh, yeah, I saw him carrying
unless
that guy.
Unless he lassoed a gator and hitched a ride on its back, I'm having a real hard time figuring out why Florida police can't find this guy. I'm having a real hard time with it. My brain is not processing this part of the story.
Next thing you know, they're going to bring in the FBI and SWAT to find
him. That's the other thing. Like, where do you draw that line? You already got one foot in. You're already asking people to keep an eye out for a fucking pillowcase with arms and legs, but you can't find it? Again, it can't. I feel like it's something that is not that difficult to locate.
Keep him
You know,
I don't think you caught that when you said that.
I'm so good at it now, Ben, from listening to you do it. It just happens naturally. But you know, I'm sure he's not begging on the street for handouts or anything either.
This guy deserves every bit of it, like you said, though.
He sure does, Ben. He sure does.
You know, he looks like somebody I went to high school with, but you age him by, like, 20 years and give him, like, facial hair. He looks like somebody I went to high school with, almost. Well, he's not, because he's 30 years old. I'm not that old, but... Not that 30 is old. No, I'm not saying 30 is old.
Bastard.
I'm just saying I'm not that old yet. I haven't aged to that point in my life.
You're damn right.
I just offended you, didn't I?
You young, cocky son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah, because that perfectly describes
bastard,
me.
Man. Hey, you know what?
Bastard man, is that like a new superhero?
Ben, at least you're not going around looking for handouts. At least you can ride a skateboard.
How do you think... He's trying to get a ride somewhere. How do you think he?
Can you imagine him trying to hail
like
a taxi?
What did you do? Just spill out stub in the air?
Again, everyone, we're not being insensitive. He killed his parents, so cut us some slack. We're grieving. Oh, it's fun. I like the lassoing a gator idea, but he could also lasso a car. And, like, just get, like, a bulletproof vest and a helmet, and he'd probably be fine.
I don't know
about
that.
Ben, don't spoil my fun.
What is he, like a flag now?
He just goes parasailing behind a car. He just gets a blanket, ties some rope to himself, throws it up there, and he just parasails behind the car.
The car goes over like a hill. You hear
you know
the
what's
fucking
funny is that I somehow feel like in Florida, if there was a quadriplegic man parasailing behind a car, I feel like most people would just look the other way, like they wouldn't want to be bothered. There'd just be an 85-year-old woman sitting at a stop sign, and oh, I can picture it. That's the scary part, is I can envision that happening.
Anywhere else, people would be like, "Oh my God, we need to help that man." In Florida, it's just like, "Oh my God, really?
Unbelievable." Oh boy, that's a fun one.
It's just as bad as, you know, that menacing pillow that's going to come out of the bushes and...
Attack of the killer pillow cases.
That sounds better than a werewolf movie.
Yeah, a werewolf movie.
Mm. Maybe Johnny Sexual fucks like a pillow.
Fucking Johnny Sexual. Wow, wicka, wicka, wow.
There's that Bulls on Parade thing again.
The Rage Against the Machine song?
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
It's that Tom Morello slap bass dealio. Well, Ben, let's go from something that's pretty embarrassing to something that's really embarrassing. In story number two, this actually makes me – I'm actually upset to hear this. It was recently announced that Japan had created the world's best whiskey. Defeating Scotland for what I assume is the first time in the history of the world. The Japanese whiskey is called the Yamazaki. It is a single malt sherry cask, 2013 bottled whiskey, and it is supposedly the finest in the world. What's amazing to me is that I was always taught that the finest whiskeys had to be aged for years upon years. This is just 1 year. And they reviewed 4,500 whiskeys to rank this. My favorite quote from these reviews, Ben, and I'm sure you'll agree, was the review that read, "Thick, comma, dry, comma, as rounded as a snooker ball." And I thought to myself, I could look up what a snooker ball is, but I don't want to.
It's a pool ball. Like a...
Oh, is that really what they call it over there?
Yeah,
I did not know that. Snooker. That's the first time I've ever heard that.
Yep.
It's still funny. Rounded as a snooker ball. I just like the word snooker ball, and now I'm going to use it all the fucking time. So...
Here's what... I don't know. It's not just this review, but reviews of anything. Movies, TV shows, music. It gets a... The whiskey got a 97.5 out of 100. So, what was the 2.5% holding it back? And if it was something, how can you say, well, it was this, and we're going to make sure that it was just 2.5%,
not 2.6?
Well, they
didn't get that extra 2.5% because they're not Scottish. It's blasphemy.
That always just kind of cracks me up. And how can you say that it's better than this if you're not giving it to a large majority of people? If it's just like 1,000 people, that's great and all, but you have 8 billion people that live in this world. So I'm sure you're going to have people that say, well, no, we think the Scottish whiskey is better. So how can you say that it's better? I mean,
now, I will tell you that 3 American bourbons came in 2nd, 3rd, and 4th place. So
Scotland
Japan,
is just getting blown out of the water here.
Japan won, and we got 2nd, 3rd, and 4th? You're goddamn right, whiskey. Fucking yeah, doggy. The American ones are William Lowry Weller, which I'm not aware of. I am aware of the Sazerac Rye, 18-year-old. That, I know for a fact, is a stunning piece of whiskey. And 4 Roses, which I'm unaware of. So I know 2 of the 3. Or 1 of the 3, which is not bad. I was surprised I knew any at all.
A Scottish judge, who claims to be a nonpartisan drinker, said that it was no surprise that the Japanese whiskey won, as Japanese distillers regularly win whiskey competitions, even in Scotland. So, apparently Japan's
apparently,
kicking Scotland's ass.
Apparently
in their
there's
own
nothing
home
the
yard.
Japanese can't do. They're so disciplined, and they're so dedicated to every craft, that they're just fucking better at us than everything. They're better at us than baby metal. Or what's the genre of that music? Death metal, J-pop? Sure. They're better at that than us. They're better at computers than us. There was a time they were better at cars than us. That's sort of not true as much anymore.
Yeah, it is more of Europe.
Pretty good at cars. But, you know, now they're better at us than in booze. Now, I won't lie to you. I do love – there are some Japanese beers that I definitely get down on. So, I mean, I understand that they can make a nice – and Ben, someday when you learn to appreciate Japanese food, there's nothing like some sake, too. Sake's a wonderful – yeah, sake's
I've always
wonderful.
Wanted to
it's
try
a very
sake.
Warming alcohol, but it'll fucking slap you in your face. So you got to be careful.
The single malt, the Yamazaki single malt, sells for about $160 a bottle in the U.S.
That's if you're really going to buy a really nice bottle of whiskey and have one, I mean, you should. I mean, that's a pretty fair price to pay. So the good stuff is always expensive.
Yamazaki, who's the maker of the winning whiskey, it's not
right.
A person, it's the distillery in Japan. It's their oldest distillery, founded in 1923. It's now owned by Suntory, the world's third largest distiller that bought Jim Beam, actually, this year for $13.6 billion. So, Japan's getting in the whiskey business.
Yeah, good for them. They're stealing all our stuff, Ben. They're stealing all our stuff.
I mean, it could be risky business in the whiskey
look
business.
Look what you did there. Risky business reference, Ben. Have you ever even seen Risky Business?
No, but that's the one where Tom Cruise has the sunglasses and
yeah, he runs a brothel.
Yeah. And he has the white shirt, and he slides out in the hallway or something. Yeah. I've never seen it. I just know that's from.
Well, I mean, I'll give credit where credit is due. At least you knew something about it.
Yeah, listen, have you heard of this movie?
Good work, Ben. Jamin.
We just had to add the little bit in. But, I mean, I've only had whiskey once, and it tasted
was
like
that here?
Cough medicine.
Was it was it the really good stuff?
No, it was the
that was your fault.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't even the honey kind. It was just
straight Daniels. I was going to let that never be known on the air.
I don't care, so we're
going to talk about it. We went to a place and you ordered straight Jack Daniels, and they brought it to you, and I didn't know that you ordered it, and I was like, oh, I was like, you got a beer and a shot. I was like, good for you, man. I'm like, what did you get? And you were like, Jack Daniels. And I kind of looked at you and went, oh, you should have asked me about that first. I'm like, you are not going to enjoy that. And as I recall, you didn't enjoy it, Ben. Yes, because Jack Daniels is only appropriate with Coke and or Diet Coke. Otherwise, Jack Daniels is not something one does shots of. Ugh. Yuck, dude. You should have got a shot. If you wanted to get a shot of whiskey, you should have got a shot of Jameson or of Maker's Mark or of Wild Turkey. Something that, you know, is going to not taste like syrup. That was your fault. You foolish, foolish fool.
I'd be willing to try this Japanese stuff, though. The Yamazaki one. I'd be willing to try that, but I don't have $150 to spend.
And that'll happen.
But yeah, so Japan's kicking Scotland's ass, so that's something else.
That is something else. I never thought I'd see the day. I mean, I guess I thought I might see the day. But I mean, you know. This is the show of contradictions.
You thought you it is. Don't use us in your report for your college thesis or you're going for your dissertation. We're not credible sources.
Not
at least not yet. So if you're going for a PhD, don't send us in any reports you're writing.
Yeah, I mean. You can. I mean, I'll read it over for you, but I won't give you any advice.
So, the next day I'll just be like, I didn't mean to say this. I'm just contradicting myself all over. But, so, from impressive to, I don't know how to describe this next one, but not impressive. Which is a terrible segue.
I don't even know what you just did. What did you just do, Benjamin?
From impressive to not smooth?
Jesus, Ben. Try one more time. You're better than that, Ben.
Oh, from impressive... I don't know. I got nothing. My brain is just not working today. So, I don't know. Maybe the guy in story number three was trying to get some of this whiskey for his own, but didn't have the money for it. I don't know. So, story number three reads, man successfully robs store wearing hoodie that reads, damn, I'm good. In Stockinbridge, Georgia. So, surprise, surprise, the South. Henry County police are trying to figure out who robbed two separate Dollar General stores in less than a week. Surveillance video captured a man who was wearing a gray hoodie that had the words, damn, I'm good, written in red across the front. Police described the man as being in his mid-20s. The robber escaped in a white, newer Model 4 pickup, which police said could be an F-150. The truck had green LED lights. Police also said that in this incident, the man fired 3 shots using a semi-automatic pistol before escaping on foot. So, Damn I'm Good lives up to the hype.
Oh, man, that's funny. I like how this year, you know, it seems like we've had a lot of stories about guys wearing awesome t-shirts whilst being arrested or going in for their mugshots. And this guy just adds to that really awesome list of dudes. And he got away with it. So, yeah, so his shirt isn't wrong. That's what you should take away from this, kids. Is that he wore that shirt and he backed it up. Boom.
Not that we are certainly condoning robberies, because that's not what we do here. But if you're going to wear a Damn I'm Good hoodie, you better back it up.
Yeah, you should probably, you're good. You know, you should probably back it up.
You think this is a hoodie that Johnny Sexual would wear?
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Johnny Sexual might be too sexual. Like, it might not be sexual enough for Johnny Sexual, if that makes sense.
Or if the fuck's like a werewolf is a good or bad thing, we don't know. So if it's a good thing, then yeah, he can wear the Damn I'm Good thing. Unless he just doesn't want to have the reputation of being good, he could say, oh, I'm good, but I'm not. Just to throw people off. Give them that illusion.
Yes. Good for him. I mean, if you're going to wear my only requisite if you're going to wear shit like that is you better be able to back it up. And homeboy, he threw down and knew that he was going to walk out clean.
Could you imagine, like, being one of the, like, cashiers and that you're handing the guy the money and you just have one question for him? I go, how good are you?
How good are you at what you do?
Well, I tell you, he robbed 2 stores without getting caught. I think he's pretty good at his own thing. Not that we condone it.
You condone it. You're the ultimate condoner.
Of robberies?
Would imagine, Ben, that if you were going to rob an establishment, that you would do it in some serious ass style, Ben.
Yeah, it would have to be at night when nobody's there, going through the roof, doing like all
Mission Impossible. You'd wear a shirt that says, damn, it feels good to be a gangster. Or you'd wear a shirt that says, say hello to my little friend. Except it wouldn't be Al Pacino in a gun. It'd be that angry cat.
I like the first one better, the Office Space stuff. It's a good movie. It's a very good movie.
Now I want you just to be wearing a red swing line, a shirt with a picture of a red swing line stapler on it when you rob your bank.
Well, no, if I'm wearing a red swing line stapler shirt, then I have to burn the place down.
Well, yeah, I assumed you would. I'll still get the videos. They probably will.
But where does one even go to acquire that kind of hoodie?
It's probably
hoodie,
a custom made.
Like a
yeah, it's
special
gotta be
order?
Custom made. I mean, then again, maybe somebody did make it. But I would imagine that's something he just got made.
You know what, Lou? I'm going to look that up right now.
Damn, I'm Good. Hooded sweatshirt.
It's actually a shirt. It's a Nike shirt.
How about that?
Actually. There was one, it really threw me off. It says, damn, I'm good in bed. And it says, I can sleep for, you know, this many hours. I'm like, oh, I saw where that was going.
That's very clever.
But it is. Yeah, it's a Nike shirt, which is kind of hilarious. I did not really expect that from Nike
at all.
And
how could you, Ben?
But, yeah, so if you do want to find it, it's on a website called Cafe Press.
Okay.
So I'm giving them free publicity. And it comes in all different, like, variations of it. It has, like, just the words, and then it has, like, the atomic, like, nucleus sort of thing going on. I don't know why. But
all right, so you too can look like your favorite local criminal. Thanks to Cafe Press. Oh, whoops. They're not our sponsor. They promote terrible robberies and things, not like the best sponsor in the world, Porcupine Cookies. Ben, what do you love most about Porcupine Cookies?
What do I love most about Porcupine Cookies, Lou?
That's a serious question.
Well, Lou, I love the fact that they are organic cookies that are gluten-free, wheat-free, soy-free,
Ben,
and
flourless. Ben, that's why I love Porcupine Cookies. Because they're good and good for you. Not like Cafe Press. shit. Damn it, I couldn't help it. I had to get that one last jab in there. Because, you know.
Do not bring up other
I know,
people that are our
sponsors.
I'm breaking
my own rule. Damn it. It's their own fault. They've driven me to this.
But, yes, Porcupine
Cookies are the greatest.
I haven't gotten any of those texts this week.
Yes,
so
I think people
thing.
Have finally got the message about the contents of the cookies.
Just to throw it out there so I don't get any text in the next week, they are not made of actual porcupines. But nobody's asked me that in the past week, so we've been good. So. But yes, do check them out. They are quite amazing cookies. Unlike this guy who robs stores. You know, I wonder if he's going to try to hit the third Dollar General. I wonder
the
if he's going to try
Dollar
to
General,
get
if there, well, or if there is one, maybe they're gonna try to outsmart him and change the name, and they'll change it to the fourth, and he'll be like, damn it, I can't rob the fourth, I have to rob the third before the fourth. Maybe he has, like, a beautiful mind type thing, or OCD, where he can only go in order. So, like, they switch all of the banks, and there is no third. So his crime spree must end. Oh. Inception.
That's how they do it.
Let's take a quick break. Let's do a quick chewing movies or movie chew. I'm going to give you a quick movie review. I already put it on Facebook, but many of you may already know me on Facebook. But I watched Philip Seymour Hoffman's final movie called A Most Wanted Man last night. I watched the whole movie, and I don't know who the most wanted man was.
Was
I don't think
Philip Seymour Hoffman?
I don't think it was any of them, and so it's very confusing to me. I'm not sure who the most wanted man was. And maybe that's the point of the movie, but that's my review.
I've never heard of it, which is no surprise to you,
so
probably.
If somebody knows who the most wanted man is, please let me know, because it seriously is bothering me. I didn't think the movie was bad, it was just kind of slow, and I like waited the whole time to kind of find out, well, who's double-crossing who, who's the happenings to the what's, and I was just like, and then it ended, and I went, oh, well, I mean, I kind of saw this coming. Like, this isn't really, I don't know. I just want to know who the most wanted man was. It's the title of your fucking movie. Pay up. But anyways, that's this week's episode of the Movie Chew. Thank you. All right, Ben, bring us home with this weird fucked up story you sent me.
So yes, I am a night owl, as most of you don't or already do know. And last night I was up and I was just finding stories, you know, just looking at stuff to make me laugh. And I found this one that I'm like, oh my god, we have to do this one. And sure enough, we're doing it right now. Our final story of today is called, and it reads, Teletubby Break-In, Student Dressed as Children's Character Now Charged, Police Say. A man dressed up as the yellow Teletubby Law won't escape charges after all for a weekend incident in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Therese Owens Jr., a lay university student. Oh, I'm sorry. I think it takes
Ben,
place.
Ben, you're
in,
doing a terrible job on this recap Pennsylvania. Of this story.
It takes place in Pennsylvania, but he's from Florida. So, Florida man strikes again. And basically, what happened was he allegedly wore the children's character costume while breaking into a friend's house. Police said he went into the victim's refrigerator and dumped Chinese food into a quote-unquote man purse before leaving. A door which this is what cracks me up. A door was damaged during the incident.
Yeah, so he broke into someone's house. He went to all the trouble to break the door open so he could dump some Chinese food into a purse?
A man purse.
I don't
purse.
Get it. He didn't even take the container. So you're just going to eat the Chinese food out of the bag?
And what type of Chinese food are we talking about
here?
Is it
like chow mein? Because that'd be disgusting. You'd get all the dust particles and shit. I don't know, man. I don't trust. I don't think this Teletubby's a very good robber.
No, I mean, if he's putting like General Sal's in there, I'm gonna be very disappointed at him.
There are so many drugs involved in this story. There's no indication for sure, but I can't imagine that drugs were not a huge component of this crime spree. Everything to me is a crime spree today. He robbed a house of a bowl of Chinese food, and that to me is a crime spree.
So, how would you feel if you came home at 2 in the morning and you saw a giant Teletubby breaking into your house and stealing Chinese food out of your refrigerator?
The fight or flight instinct in me is very strong. I would probably immediately speak to the Teletubby. I would be like, "You need identify yourself. Who are you? Do I know you?" Before I really seriously hurt you. And if they could not provide me with any sort of evidence, it is going down. I will fight a Teletubby. I will fight a Teletubby to the death. I have weapons strategically placed all over my house, but zero guns. Do you know how many fireplace pokers I have in my house, Ben? 12.
You know what I just imagined in my mind?
Me fighting a Teletubby?
I just imagine. Well, before that happens, you coming home, and you just see this Teletubby hunching over your refrigerator. And you say, "Do I know you? Are you somebody I know before I beat the holy hell out of you?" And he turns around and he's just putting the noodles in his mouth and just looking at you. And just continues to put the noodles in his mouth and then turns around.
It'd be on like Donkey Kong. I would arm myself immediately. I would beat the fuck out of that yellow Teletubby bitch. I would be stomping heads. I would be kicking pudgy midsections. It would be fucking on.
You got all the specific there.
Because right. I've often fantasized about killing a Teletubby with my bare hands. No, I've worked past that in my life. Years and years of therapy.
Oh,
sure,
well, that's good.
Why
I mean,
can talk
you,
about
you,
it
got,
so
you got a cure
more.
For that.
But no, what I would probably do most realistically is I would hope that if there was ever a home intruder, I have my owl mask and my baseball bat under my bed. And so what I'd like to do is sort of like hear them come in and then assume that they're using flashlights and just be standing in the hallway with a baseball bat and the mask so that when their flashlight comes on me, they literally piss themselves. Because I'll just be standing there with the fucking owl mask.
It is very terrifying.
Imagine you're in like the pitch black and you've just got your flashlight and you're sort of, you turn a corner and there's that fucking mask right in your face. Yeah.
I mean, that mask is terrifying.
Ashley's
mask is terrifying.
Scares the crap out of me too. That one I don't care for. I don't care for either of them. They're both very, very ominous.
No, what you need to do is you need to get like that cowboy hat or whatever, and then wear the mask at the same time.
Like that classic news chew photo. No, I like doing it just sort of like, I wish I have to be wearing like dark colors so that I just, it's just like a face floating in the dark just to fuck with them.
Fucking Teletubbies.
And if it was a Teletubby, if through the flashlight I could see that it was a Teletubby, I'd go extra hard. I'd get my mountaineering boots out of the closet, and I'd fucking climb that shit like it was Mount Olympus. Just digging my cleats into it as I climbed up.
Especially
what was the, how did you just say
table.
That word?
Especially.
Ben, I thought you stuck an X in there. Alright, I trust
no,
you. I trust especially that you did not just do what I thought I heard you do.
But if it's Chinese food, you're definitely going to beat the ever-living
hell
out of
him. No, it
could
be any kind of food. I don't want Teletubbies touching my things, Ben. Do you know how Teletubby AIDS gets transmitted? Yep.
By touching things? That's what I thought.
But luckily, Teletubby AIDS is mostly just some tingling and a rash that you get once a year in the shape of a heart. It's,
oh God,
it's
terrifying.
Just the worst as far as AIDS goes. it's just the fucking worst.
Are we really making, like,
you know what, Ben?
I've
reached a point in the show where I feel like people have a good understanding of who we are and that nothing can be sacred here. We can make fun of me all we want. You know, nothing is sacred here. Everything is fair game. And again, I'm not making fun of AIDS. I'm using AIDS to further a joke about AIDS. All right, it was an AIDS joke.
Maybe the guy in the Teletubby suit was getting the Chinese food for his quadriplegic friend.
They could be a tag team, crime tag team.
They're in cahoots with each other.
This fall on ABC, Stumpy Ale and Lala. Starring Teletrouble. They're a vigilante crime fighting duo for ABC. So you know it's going to be adequate.
The police, though, they did say that they caught the suspect.
Oh, yeah, you caught the guy in the Teletubby suit, but you didn't catch the guy who was literally rolling down the street like a fucking Hot Pocket? Yeah, great work. Great detective work.
The victim who lost the Chinese food and had the door damaged didn't press charges. They met with the Teletubby man, Owens, who is an undergraduate business/supply chain major at Lay University, and he declined to comment on the subject matter. And the police chief said, quote, not that many Teletubbies get arrested. You can't make it up, end quote.
You really can't. Oh, I would also like to point out that I have been told by a few different people, Ben, before we wrap up the show for this week, that the story that we did last week about the man who kidnapped dead little girls and then mummified them and dressed them up for birthday parties, I was told by more than two people, which to me seems like a lot, that it was definitely the most disturbing thing we've done on the show. So a few different people were like, dude, this is really disturbing. And I was like, yes. And I was like, and you didn't even have to see the pictures. I was like, I had to see the pictures. Kimberly, of course, made me show her the pictures, and then she regretted it. Because it's, yeah. Anyways,
we've
reached new heights of fucked up dumb. Always Air 5. Always trying to raise the bar, I guess. So we strive to gross you the fuck out more frequently.
And make you scratch your head and go, wow, that's an actual thing that happened. Like a quadriplegic man killing his parents or a Teletubby breaking into a dorm and stealing
none of
Chinese
these
food.
Disturbing. They're just fun.
It happens. I mean, that's what we do here is we find shows that make you go, wow, yeah, this is the thing that happened
it's,
in the world.
We do the things that most people, like most news outlets will only report, like it'll get reported one time in a local paper and then never heard of again because it's embarrassing. We like to dig up the dirt.
You won't find this shit in your mainstream news.
Brian
we're
Williams
better than that.
Ain't going to do what I do, girl. Brian Williams ain't got shit on me. You think Katie Kirk is going to talk about a Teletubby stealing Chinese food? Fuck no.
Is she nope. still on the air? I was going to say, I don't think
not
she has
the news
for a
came
while.
Around. Boom! I don't think that's true. I think I made that up. I don't know when she left, but she does no longer read the news.
Shots fired.
Dude, I'm not here to make
Shots
friends.
Fired.
That's actually not true. I don't know why I said that either. I just, you know, today I have a little bit of the rage flowing through me today. So I apologize to those who were in my wake, especially the people at Meta Cafe or whatever the hell that was called. Sure, who cares? Whatever. Something weird on the internet with cafe in it. Yeah.
And probably cats, too, because, I mean, cats there flourish on the internet. So, you can find us on Facebook, The News Chew with Ben and Lou. You can follow us on Twitter, at The News Chew. You can find us on Google Plus, even though we never use it. And you can email us at newschewwithbenandlou@gmail.com. Be sure to like and follow, I guess on Facebook, our sponsor, Porcupine Cookies.